Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Cast your cares on Yahweh, He will sustain you. Blessed be the name of the Most High Yah. I'm Sister Ashley. Privilege and honor to be before you again tonight. Another show, another fifth day, another broadcast. Thank you, Father, for strength, life, and health. Hallelujah. Can everybody say hallelujah? Hope you can hear me clearly. Give me some sound checks. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. I hear you clearly. Let's see if everyone else does. Please say a few words.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all of you daughters of Zion. It's just an awesome privilege to be here. Sister Ashley, thank you so much for having me on here with you for another episode of Sister to Sister. I can hear you very well, and I pray that everyone else can hear me. I have the chat room pulled up, and it looks like we've got tens in the chat room, so I think we're good to move on.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah for His judgment, for His time, His diligence over us, for sustaining us. I consider His shepherd my teacher and leader as a reflection of our Creator. He's given us a shepherd after his own heart. I'm very thankful to know the Father as intimately and personally as I do because of his good grace, hallelujah, and his favor. So I thank my husband, Deacon Bill, for generosity. He's a very, very generous man. He never stopped giving. And his commitment to our leaders as a deacon without jealousy and envy. I had a sister reach out to me and say, I just wanted to thank you and your husband. Thank him for me, that he's a melanated man in this society from the background that each of you share, and he doesn't have jealousy and envy in his heart for another black man. And some of you who are melanated and listening, that means it's deeply understood by you. So I appreciated that thought. I appreciated the meditating on that and my eyes being opened to her sincerity. Hallelujah. But my husband will never leave me or forsake me as long as I submit and obey to the will of the Father and to him. And so I'm very, very grateful to dwell in peace and safety in my heart. Hallelujah. Anything can happen in the natural realm, but in my heart, I know where I'm going, and I know I'm loved. Hallelujah. And to our shepherd, I thank him for ordaining the men that he's laid hands on. I thank him for casting every demon out of every individual he's ever touched. I thank him for every prayer that he's ever prayed, every commitment he's made, every book he's ever read on behalf of Israel, feeding the sheep. If you love, feed my sheep, the Messiah said. And so for everyone that he touched and laid his hands on, that would benefit Israel, because he himself cannot handle everyone, every question, every person, every situation, every circumstance. And so to see Yah's delegation and his order really functioning here is tremendous to be a part of. I really stand in awe of the Father. But to the women behind the men that are head assemblies, and to the women behind the leaders and the elders of the assemblies, bless you. To the women of Elder Becker, Elder Mitch, Elder Donnie, Elder Rufus, Brother Kabir, Teacher Eric, Brother Greg, Deacon Miguel, Deacon Gorman, each of you, each wife, woman, Isha, that is behind these men, I thank you for supporting them, because you feel after them and you have a special care and concern for them. So I pray that you're being led to lift them up and pray for them and to pray for all of Israel. To our shepherd who is gracious but misunderstood, he's not considered, he's lied on, he's deeply, deeply loved by these men. And I thank them so much for the example of love that is manifest here. I thank the men who love him. I thank the women who support our show. I thank you so much for loving Yah. And knowing that you see Yah in me, knowing that you see Yah in Mother Jennifer and in the women of the Straight Truth Ministry is a beautiful, beautiful process to be a part of. So, hallelujah. If you need wisdom, my sisters, ask our generous Father. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Glory. Welcome again, as I said, to another show tonight. And now, Mother Jennifer, your acknowledgments.
Hallelujah. I want to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for his word that gives us everything that we need. Every problem that we're having, we can easily go to his word and get the answer, get the solution. I'm thankful that, he's given us faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance, godliness and patience and brotherly kindness and love. And these are the things that actually make up our identity. You know, it tells us who we are as women. And in his word, it promises that we won't be barren and we won't be unfruitful once we follow these things. They make us up. You know, a lot of women don't have, they don't understand what their identity is, but he's given us a map for who we are as women. And so I'm just thankful that we don't have to be barren nor unfruitful, because this is the promise that he's given us. I want to acknowledge my elder, my head, my husband, Elder Rufus, for being such a sound sane man in an unstable world here. I'm thankful to have the opportunity of stability, you know, when I've never had it before. Before I met him, I was in such a state of instability. I'm thankful to have his mind. I'm thankful to know his mind, to continually learn his mind every single day, and to just to be able to learn from him, to see that he rules his home well and that he provides for not only the saints, but he provides for his family. And as a result, he is taken care of. He never has to be concerned or worried about taking care of himself. He's never selfish. He's always selfless in his actions. And because of that, the Father always makes sure that he has what he needs. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for putting out so much information to us, such a variety of videos, a variety of information. You know, I saw a video the other day, and he was talking about the five things that you can still do to prepare for what's coming up. You know, even if you've waited and you have not done what you needed to do, you have not been diligent, he's still throwing out lifelines. He's still really showing so much love. So please take heed when our shepherd is making videos. Make sure that you watch him and you really are doing what he says. So he's still showing you that there's still hope left. So bless you, Pastor Dow. Thank you so much for continually pouring information into people who may not want to hear. But thank you for just loving us more than we hate ourselves. And bless you and your entire family. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So, Sister Sakina, could you please type into the chat room the email address for anyone who's interested in attending our upcoming event? Do you want to announce it a little bit? You went to the last one. You went to the Dry Bones Conference, Mother Jennifer. This time it's going to be in Texas. You want to say a few facts about it? Go ahead.
Yeah, this time it will be in Texas. And we're really looking forward to what the Most High is going to be doing. You know, it seems like every conference just gets better and better and better. And you know, during the last one, it was like an account from out of the world, out of the word, where spirits were crying out, people were being set free. You know, people came with, there was just such a great level of anticipation. And if we go to this conference in Dallas with the same anticipation, you know, I believe that the Father can do even greater things. So it's drybonesawake2020@gmail.com. You can get all the information that you need in that email. Or if you have questions, make sure that you email. Don't just show up. Get permission to come. Contact drybonesawake2020@gmail.com to get the information that you need so that you can be in the number. There's a lot of stuff that has to take place behind the scenes. There's a lot of logistics that needs to be covered. So you can email and get what you need as far as the information is concerned, and really come with just an expectation in your heart for the Most High to really move. You know, if you need to get to a position of fasting and praying, whatever you need to do to make sure that you are ready to receive the word, that the man of Yah would not be hindered by any unbelief at all. And that's all I have to say. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, email, as she said, Dry Bones Awake, it's all lowercase, 2020@gmail.com. If you should get a reply email immediately saying that your desire to come and the amount of people that you'll be bringing with your party, you'll get a reply that says it's received, your email's received. Give us a call. Call us in the dining hall. If you don't get an automatic response or a reply, and we can keep a running total and list on hand, you will be contacted with any further details, okay? Location, all that, you will find out in due season. So wait patiently. I wanted to suggest Sister, it's just coming to my mind, Sister Karel and Sister Koya, communicate with your husband and really work together. See how this is going to go. This is your first time joining efforts, so you don't want to neglect anything, forget anything. You want to be really organized, and you want to be on one page, one accord. So make sure that you're not overstepping over each other and that you're getting your direction from the heads of your assemblies and you're functioning in order. It's going to be amazing, beautiful, and it's not going to be hindered. So I thank y'all in advance, everyone in Texas, Sister Koya, Michael, Brother Michael, Israel. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for all you do. Special thank you to, I'm sure he doesn't listen, but it doesn't matter, he's on my heart, our brother Yaki. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the interview. And hallelujah, I have someone special tonight listening at the moment, so I won't bring her to the mic, but it's Sister Gabby, our Sister Gabby, brother, I said brother, forgive me, our shepherd and pastor, Corey's wife, Ishai, woman. She's here. They're here. Hallelujah. So you may or may not see them on the camera tomorrow somehow. I'm sure you'll see Pastor Corey. But it's beautiful. Their family's here, and we welcome them with a huge hug. And everybody says, hi, Sister Gabby. Hallelujah. Glory from the audience and the crowd. I'm going to open up the phone lines, okay? I'm going to open up the phone lines. Guest call in 310-982-4226. This is what I want from you. Get to the point. Ask your questions, share your story, share your testimony, keep the flow of the show going. Don't be dragging. Don't let noise in the background interfere. Don't mess up the entertainment factor of this show. Okay? So 310-982-4226. Now that the pressure is on you to call in and meet a certain requirement, let's see who calls. Hallelujah. I don't have anything that is impressed on me. I don't have any direction. That's rare, I know. So I'm leaning to Mother Jennifer to ask anything, speak anything, and discuss anything. So I'm following your lead, Mother Jennifer, and go for it.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I just want to say that the interview last night that was done with our brother Yaki was an excellent interview. And I wanted to point out that, you know, the humility and the discipline that it takes is definitely noticed in you. You didn't overtalk the men. You know, you didn't talk over the heads of the people, and you didn't ask questions that would benefit yourself. You asked questions that would benefit the body. And I know and I understand, because we've talked about health a whole lot from the time that I came into the ministry. You've helped me a whole lot. You know, in my own pregnancy, in my own health issues, you've always had a lot to share. And I truly appreciate, you know, everything that you've done to just really seek the healing and the health of Israel. And I'm so happy that your gift has made room for you. But if I could just ask you, can you just talk about the discipline and the humility that it takes to really not allow your flesh to get in the way and to really just allow the spirit of Yah to move through you so that all of Israel can benefit from the interview that was done last night. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Actually, I think I'll tell a story. I'll share my healing journey in part, and I'll share my healing information, okay? And though I say I a lot and I speak to myself, I glorify the Father for a lot of the learning that I've had throughout this, and so I hope that you can apply it. I know you can apply this, sisters, right where you're at, okay? Years ago when, you know, you have your first child and something's different, your body's different, and I had a belief that everyone should bounce right back. I was humbled by not bouncing right back. I was driven by exercise. I was driven by fasting. I was driven to get a image result because I had gained weight, and I didn't care about the health aspect of it. It was just image. I'm bigger than I've ever been. This is not what I want. And this has got to go. So I did a lot. I mean, when I tell y'all a lot, my sisters, I set my alarm for 3:30 a.m. 6 days a week, and I strenuously worked out for 45 minutes 6 days a week and never slept in, 3:30 clockwork, because I had small children, and they're getting up by 5:30 or 6, and nothing's going to hinder. Number one problem is I was doing it above and first before prayer. That's number one problem. Number two problem is I'm doing it thinking that I can get a result and I can control my health. That was number two problem. Okay? So Yah had to humble me and make me realize his sovereignty with my body, because why is my drivenness, my money in my supplements, my diet, my fast, I did insanity for months. Some of my sisters know, as I would, you know, kind of share my story in little bits and pieces of my journey, people who live on the land, some of them even know. Dealing with the embarrassment of having more weight than I should have, I don't speak with lack of compassion or lack of mercy anymore for anyone who is overweight or burdened by a health condition. That's no matter what my image ever gets to, I now have a heart that's completely transformed and different. And I think as a healer, you can hear that in Yaqui. It's a very selfless place to be. So that's my journey. I developed skin conditions. I sought the Father because I refused, and to this day still refuse, to get on Mr. Google and ask him anything about a condition that he doesn't know about, because he's going to generate a populace. He's going to generate the most clicked link that's going to answer a question, and I don't believe that. That's, you know, the word says, let every man have faith to himself. Faith for me was my healing, and with my body was to myself. No one knew but me, myself, what I had going on and what I needed to do. So I sought the Father, and I got one word in my spirit: bitter herbs. Okay? So I got bitter herbs. I get on bitter herbs. I tell no one. Then I seek the Father. I'm still seeking. I'm taking this. I'm doing this. I don't see results. See, I'm still looking for an image. So as he adds things to me, and in my zeal, with no knowledge, by the way, in my zeal, the few selected people that I would share my journey with, or this is what you got to do, this is great for your body, this is what's up, this is what's going on, this is what I'm feeling now, no one's listening. No one. That told me one thing. What I'm giving you, daughter, for your health is for your health. I'm not running around teaching everybody, so I'm sharing too early. You know, this is years ago. I'm sharing too early. I'm talking too early. I'm sharing, and it's not producing fruit. So what does the word say? That if you have a gift, it'll make room for you. So I shut my mouth, and I began to pray that the truth about health, because I knew what I got in my spirit. I knew what I got in my heart. I knew it's parasites. I know it's a problem with elimination. It's not consumption. It's not just mineral deficiencies. It's, you know, there's a myth about exercise, and a myth about aging, and a myth about vision, and a myth about weight gain, and myths about your uterus, and myths about diet, myths about meat. I mean, we've been lied to, and I literally would set myself apart to meditate and pray about health, and I would get communion with the Father's Spirit. It wasn't based off any book. It wasn't based off any video, because I refused. Unless he put a man before me, whether my own shepherd or my own husband, I would also even pray that Pastor Corey would rise up in that way too. I used to pray this really early on years ago, that Pastor Corey, or, you know, because I know shepherd's plate is max full. He cannot set himself apart to really dig into health. But I would pray that a man bring it forth, because Yah had already humbled my heart to let me know that you're not the one that the people are going to listen to. Okay, so this was years ago. So when I put a regimen together that actually benefited my body, that eliminated parasites, which you heard me say, eliminated parasites through my stool, through urine, and through my nasal passages. When I eliminated parasites, when I applied the bitter herbs, when I would eat according to, you know, how I was being led, I wasn't always getting as zealous as you are, as excited as you are, things are working for you. I finally, this is what happened, y'all. Even after insanity every morning at 3:30 a.m. for 6 months, I lost 1 pound. I did intermittent fasting for years. I did long periods of fasting. You fast 7 days, you eat 7 days, you fast seven, you eat seven. I lost 1 pound. Y'all had a grip on my mind and my body to completely humble me. I've never shared this story open. This is my very first time. I've never shared this with anyone. So he humbled me. He broke my pride. He showed me my vanity. He showed me self-seeking, self-gain. And so I couldn't, in that humility and in the knowing that the Father would bring forth a man, bring forth someone that would really teach the people the truth about health. If I'm getting it, and I'm a woman, and no man has taught this to me, but I'm getting it so-called from the Most High, then you better believe everything that I'm getting from the Father will line up with the words I hear a man say. Now, understand that order? You're not going to get something in your prayer life that's going to be given to you and you alone and no man know it. And so I would pray that a man bring forth what I'm hearing, if this be true. And so I really have spent a lot of time setting myself apart with just the Father. And when I would hear a certain herb or get something to take or to study or to dig into, that's just what I would do. I discovered an iridologist through my mother, who is a kinesiologist, okay, which studies the polarity of the body, the energy of the body, the strengths and weaknesses that are radiated from your specific organs. Don't let this information confuse you if it's too much, okay? So don't try to retain it. Just hear me for what I'm saying with my testimony here. And so my mother was a kinesiologist, and she had mentioned iridologists, and something in me just lit up, like, what is that? I've never heard that before. Tell me more. So, of course, my shepherd, my husband, approved me traveling 45 minutes away to an Amish, maybe he's Mennonite, I say Amish, an Amish man who has been an iridologist for at least 27 years now. It was 22 years at the time when I began to travel to him. And this whole time I'm knowing that whatever information that I'm getting about myself, I'll be able to help others. That was my sincere desire even then. But I knew to keep it hush, you know. I knew to shut up. You don't know anything. And I sat with this man, and it was really interesting as I would travel to him as often as I could, which was stopped by I got pregnant. I got pregnant with my son, so I stopped going because of priorities. As I traveled to him, and he was, you know, they don't have electricity, and they don't have, all he has is books. He literally based all his knowledge on health and books, not Mr. Google, not website, not what any man had taught him. And so between my mother sharing her books and this man sharing his books and my short experience there, I really got interested. I got some charts, I got some books, I got some DVDs, and I want to go back as far as I can when I'm looking for books. My shepherd taught me that. So I got some old books. And when I began to be a mother and I had a son and then got pregnant again, I laid everything aside. I really did, because my priority is wife and mother. And I never forgot. I still would reflect, but it was not a priority to me. And I went to I let that man know why I stopped going to him, because I had gotten pregnant and had I had bleeding. I bled almost my entire pregnancy, which I know was an issue, okay? So I'm taking notes with the way that the body responds. I'm taking notes, mental notes, what it's responding to. And I'm noticing everything is an elimination issue. It's not the consumption. Okay, it's not even the fasting issue. It's still, I'm not eliminating heavy metals, waste, and toxicity. Even though I'm alkalining my body, I'm not eliminating. Okay, so I'm just taking mental notes. I'm paying very close attention. I ordered two books that specifically started my journey. It was the very first two books that I have ever paid money to buy about health, because other things are just flat-out lies. They want everything in this world is promoted in America by image. They're going to sell you a diet based on image. You're going to feel good because you're not cleansing. You're going to feel better on this diet because you're not detoxing. Detoxing and purifying your body has a completely different effect than just eating this awesome diet and feeling amazing. Okay, so anyway, let's fast forward. Here I am. I'm overjoyed that, yes, I've been healed. Yes, I've gotten answers, and I'm still on a health journey to completely take care of my last remaining circumstances in my body. I'm excited that I kept faith to myself, and I didn't need, it's just something that me and Yah had. I just had this oneness with him, you know, that I would have went to the grave with the information in my mind. So I was completely overjoyed when Pastor Corey slowly and maturely introduced Yaki to the Straightway Truth Ministry. Because we have an order here. We have an order we follow. And it was followed. It was a beautiful process. So I didn't promote this man verbally. I didn't promote him on this show because he first needs to be accepted by the men. They were easily fooled by women. But I was overjoyed to hear someone speak the truth that I have had ministered to my spirit for years. Now, mind you, he's an herbal master. He's much more educated. I submit and surrender my thoughts, my opinions, and everything I've ever thought about the health. I surrender that to him. So for the first time, I can say, man, all these years of plowing in hope, plowing in faith, and praying for somebody, Yah has brought him forth. So I really am overjoyed, and I understand, and I'll go back to you, Mother Jennifer, just to end on this. I understand by watching my husband, pastor, and the elders of this ministry, and even just our working brothers, you know, that are often overlooked. They're very busy, and to be with somebody who is committed to the ministry in the capacity that our elders are, it has given me a humbling to not ever want to take a moment of their time that's unnecessary. Get straight to the point, ask the question, stop the flattery, stop the, you know, all the over-explanation, because as soon as you walk up to a man of Yah, he's already got an answer for you. So just don't take all that verbiage. You know, and so I was really overjoyed. I've never talked to pastor about my health. I've never talked to shepherd about my health until I had a dream. This was years of trying to get results in my body and doing the things. I was obedient. I was going to the Father saying, I have obeyed you. You told me to take this. I'm taking it. You told me to do this. I'm doing it. I'm still not seeing results. I'm still not getting it. Like, what is the stronghold? And I finally had a dream. I was in our shepherd's kitchen, down in his house that he currently lives in now. And it was just me and him. He's at the sink. I'm across the table. The dream starts. I say, Pastor? And he turns around. He says, yes. I say, you remember when you laid hands on me to conceive a child and I became pregnant? And he said, yes, daughter. And I said, I need you to lay hands on me for my weight. And he said, I will. And I woke up. So you know I was excited. Because for years, and that's a whole nother testimony, for years I knew if I went to the man of Yah to lay hands on me, to break this off of me, I knew that it would work. But I knew that I couldn't waste my opportunity. Just because I got faith that this man can help me with my weight condition, I can't go on my own time. I don't want to waste this visit and opportunity. So I want to go when I've met all my requirements. And Yah knew that about my heart. So that's my story. I got hands laid on by my shepherd, and then immediately after that prayer, I got pregnant again. And so I didn't, you know, if you want to say, see the results, but I already knew yokes were broken. I already knew I was free. My husband always told me, you're going to, you know, you're going to receive everything you've asked for. You know, you're going to lose your weight. So my sisters who are bound by weight situations and circumstances, I notice the arrogancy of skinny women. I do. I notice that they have no compassion. I know that they don't have any understanding of what it's like to be bound by something. But I also know that you got yourself in the situation that you're in, just as I did. So between you eating, between your thought process, between your demons, between, you know, Yah just working on you, you are who you are. So don't let someone or arrogance from any angle keep you from humbling yourself and meeting the requirements to change your body and to really embrace healing now. So what, you can't eat like everyone else? You've tried all your life and it just made you bigger. And so I sincerely speak with compassion to overweight sisters. I sincerely mean it. To be embarrassed, being the biggest one in the room, others will have no idea what that feels like. To be embarrassed that you've tried and no one knows what you're doing behind the scenes and you're not getting results, no, others don't know what that defeat is like. But you can't be defrauded and expect others to feel it either. So you got yourself a show, Mother Jennifer. Anything else?
You know, I want to point out, Sister Ashley, you said the key is that you met the requirements. You didn't just go up to the man of Yah and ask him to lay hands on you and to pray for you. There was a change in your mind that took place. You know, there were things that you knew needed to be done, and you actually did do those things. So, sisters, I don't want you to think that, you know, it's as easy as just being prayed for. There's requirements that have to be met. So I want that to really stand out, that comment that Sister Ashley made. I want to switch up a little bit because we had been talking about masculinity, and this really, really stood out to me last night. It came out during the interview that, you know, women were created to be alkaline and men have a slight acidic makeup. And, you know, women who have, quote unquote, female issues in their body, the root of that is acid in the body. You know, women were not created to have acidic female parts at all. So the presence of acid in the uterus, it represents masculinity. So can we please talk about masculinity? You know, when women come to the ministry and, you know, the first thing that they say is, you know, I have heavy periods. I have really painful periods. I get really bad PMS, and we know that it's typically Jezebel that needs to be dealt with. Well, Jezebel is masculine. So can we talk about masculinity, Sister Ashley, as it relates to a presence of acid in the body of the female?
Absolutely, masculinity. Okay, so let me knock out a few thoughts in my mind before I get to the point you just made. Remember, my sisters, that it's never an image, okay? That's main goal for your mind. If you're seeking health, don't seek an image. Auntie Chandra has always said that too. It is really health, okay? So seek your motive. And no, we don't all need to be a rail. We don't all need to be an American image and a seducing, alluring American image. It's just not going to happen. You need to be healthy. You need to be what your husband wants you to be. And if you, as me, I struggled because I knew I wasn't what he wanted me to be. It wasn't because of any other woman. There was no other look. I'm trying to be someone else. I'm not being able, I would take that to the Father. I would literally take it to the Father and say, I am not who my husband wants me to be. And I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem. This is personal Ashley talking. I have a huge conviction about being lumped into the obese, gluttonous women of America. I got a huge problem with that personally. and I don't take that lightly to represent them. When I know my discipline is different, I know my heart is different. I've been committed to fasting for years, and I wasn't getting results. So it's been very humbling to me for Yah to show his sovereignty in my life and my health. I mean, I could glorify him for hours. Secondly, if you want pastor, a shepherd, elder, a head of the community, a man, your husband, whoever, to lay hands on you, and you don't know if you met the requirements, just go by the simple thought that, am I ready? Like for me, I knew I wasn't. But that doesn't mean that you don't need a miracle, that you can't get in line, that you can't step up. Don't go by my testimony and bind yourself to it. Have your own testimony. Have your own desperation. Do I need to go to you, to the Shepherd Father? Do I need to go before? Sometimes what you need to do is and can be humiliating. Oh, I don't feel like standing up. I don't feel like asking somebody to help me with the Holy Spirit. Suck up your pride, or let it out, I should say. Let out all that pride. I look like how I look like. I sound like how I sound like, and this is me. And I want to be free. And so you get in line, you step up, you get prayed for, you run hard. I know sisters that are overweight that eat way less than skinny sisters. I know gluttonous skinny sisters. So it's a heart thing. So don't be like, pastor comes hard against obesity. He comes hard against gluttony. And praise Yah, because there's probably no other shepherd on earth that's going to talk to us this real in a world where everything's just been force-fed. Hey, cover this emotion up. Eat this. Hey, cover that hurt you, right? Drink this. Hey, you going through this? Sip this wine. And so we've just been just consumers. It takes a strong will to say, I'm not eating that. It takes a strong will to say, I'm not drinking that. And I committed my soul and my body years ago to have that kind of strength. If you don't got it now and you want to be committed to it, then bind yourself to your word, sisters. And if you don't want to be committed and you don't want to change and you want to eat like you're eating, then be free. I'm not looking at people's plates. I got my own testimony, my own run, my own walk with the Father, you know? So if you need pastor to pray for you, don't you let anything hinder you from asking. But if you know you hadn't met requirements, you got that little check in your spirit, like, I know I'm not ready. I'm going up because I'm desperate and I want to look a certain way. Or I'm going up because I'm desperate and I don't even got all the answers yet. I ain't even repented yet. Then stand back. Stand down. Let Yah reveal himself to you. Let him be your healer. If he don't put you through the fire, how can he prove to you he can put it out or make you find gold? So that's the 2 points, first off. And then, like you said, with masculinity, hormone production and hormone elimination. Remember, everything that's produced in your body has to be eliminated in your body. All the emotional responses that you produce inside of your body when you're afraid, when you're angry, any emotion that you have, why do you feel an emotion? Because the energy of that thought and that emotion is now sent throughout your body and releases certain chemicals and hormones. And so that hormone production that is inside of you needs to be eliminated. You utilize some, you eliminate some. And your hormone production is based off of your thoughts and the acidity of your diet. Your hormone production is based on your thoughts and the acidity of your diet. So if you have an acidic diet and a negative outlook and negative thoughts, you just increased your bodily acidosis, your acidity, and your hormones are not being eliminated as fast as you're secreting them. You can go through periods of time where you acted like a boy, or you hung out with boys, or you walked like a boy. I'm saying boy because if we did it in our childhood, that's as far back as it can go. But even as a lady now or a woman now, your camaraderie and your companionship were with men at your job, that releases, because of your function, because of your thought, because of your nature, it releases certain hormones into your body. And so, you know, not getting too deep because I'm just trying to share something with you for repentance purposes, really. You're trying to balance these things out. There are eliminating systems in your body. There are kidneys through urination. There are bowels through stools. There are lungs through your breathing. And there is, in a woman, the uterus, the shedding of the mucous membrane or the blood that you would say, your cycle. Deep breathing eliminates waste from your lungs. Kidneys. A lot of people think, here's the myth, you drink a lot of water, your kidneys are going to filter. No, if your kidneys aren't filtering, you drink a lot of water, your skin's going to absorb the water and you're just going to swell and get fatter. Some people are fat because of fat. Some people are fat because their skin retains water. Do a fast, drop weight immediately, your skin retained water. Do a fast and you don't drop immediately, your body's proven to you that it has a fat content. But either way, majority of people's kidneys are an issue. Your acidity of your diet is an issue. No, you're not getting enough vegetables and fruit. No, I'm not saying eat only that, but it sure does benefit you if you're going to heal. If you want to heal something, then raw is the way to go, period. If you want to eat a certain diet, then just put it into your diet. Eat more of it. We are a huge consuming society. We believe that we need to eat every day. We believe that we need to drink a certain amount of water every day, and it's just not true. All throughout history, for hundreds of years, even thousands of years, even through depressions, all the way back to your ancients, they prove what your body really relies on, which is way less than what you're giving yours. So majority of our listeners have a huge consumption problem, and they don't have a strong enough will to deny their flesh. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. Very good. Covered it very well. I would like for you to talk to us about the unbelief and the stubbornness of our people. You know, the excuse making that takes place when you're giving answers to someone concerning their health issues. Talk to me about the backlash that you sometimes receive, the stubbornness. The unwillingness to hear, the unbelief. Talk to me about that. When you are giving answers to people who are actually coming to you regarding their own health, can you just elaborate on that, please?
Sure. I have really awesome testimonies of people that I've helped. I have people that have gotten pregnant by following exactly what I told them to do. And that's really rewarding. I give all praises to the Most High Yah that you know a soul was created, hopefully for the benefit of the kingdom, because of your advice. So I don't, here's number uno, my sisters, as a very base level beginning herbalist, my desire to help people was never, I did not want to be offended or take it personal when somebody didn't listen. So that's the balance as the giver of information. You don't take it personal like, hey, you're coming to me, you're asking me what you think I should do, or what I think you should do, and I might give you a suggestion, instruction. I might tell you I don't have any answer. But either way, I don't take it personal if you don't. Okay, so that's number uno. But after that, yes, majority, 99.9% of anyone I've ever talked to about health, they weren't committed to them own selves, not to me, to them own selves, to try to walk something out and to actually get results. So like I said, I don't take it personal, but the stubbornness is there. The excuse making in the human spirit is actually progressive because you're around people that make excuses. And so I really glorify the Father for bringing me around stronger-minded saints, and not all of them, believe me, but stronger women in my life and, you know, leaders, my husband, people who don't make excuses, they actually stop yours. That's the power of this ministry as well. But I'll give you a lot of melanated people, you have heard endless, endless, endless excuses. You know why? Because you have been so oppressed. So, for example, if your auntie said, well, I didn't have an opportunity, I didn't have any money, I didn't have a job, so I had to get welfare, or I didn't get accepted in that school, or I didn't, you know, I had to get these through. You've heard that so much that became your nature, and you perpetuate. And as sad as it is and as truthful and penetrating as it is, that you heard so many excuses because the oppressor is manifest, you just continued them by making up your own. And so there's a lot of reality checks that you have to give yourself when it comes to look at me and what I've gotten myself into, Father. Like, woe is me, you know? So like you said, any of the backlash or a lot of people, you already know most of the time if you're discerning and someone's coming to you about health, I really appreciate the spiritual aspect or walking in the spirit with it, because you already know when somebody's not going to listen to you. You know if they're entertained by what you're telling them or if they're really going to apply it. So you really just save yourself a lot of time. You can either give them what they want to hear, which is a quick, short answer, or tell them you got nothing for them, or give them a legit answer and watch them apply it. You have to learn how to navigate this human spirit, my sisters. There's a deeper level of communication that you can get to, and it has to be learned. It can't just be taught by me. But Mother Jennifer, as far as the excuses or the lack of, it's kind of like each person has to experience Yah for themselves. You know, each person has to experience what Yah's capabilities and what eating right can do for you, how it can clear your mind, you know, how you can feel, how you can think, how free you can be. Hallelujah. But go ahead. What else you got?
Hallelujah. I just want to thank you for sharing this and just really being open. I'm reading the comments in the chat room, and it looks like the sisters are really enjoying this and they're really being edified. So thank you for thank you for sharing with us. I want to go over some of the myths that we're taught, you know, in the world. So we're taught that you only need one kidney. You know, that's all you need. You don't need two. It's just not important to have two. We're taught that the spleen is not important. We're taught that you don't need a gallbladder. We're taught that as long as you have a bowel movement daily and your urine is clear, then you're eliminating properly. Can you go through some of those things and just dispel the myths that we're being taught and just how bad that really is on the body if you follow these myths and what it actually does to you if you follow these lies we've been told?
Hallelujah. As I've stated, there's as many lies that's been accepted into your mind about health as religion. And I think every conscious mind listening truly doesn't even know what's real or truth. They just justified how they're eating and how they're living. Romans 12:4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone's members one of another." There's other verses and scriptures to legitimately show you how the function of every member is so important. A lot of mistakes have been made in the flesh prior to the faith, where saints have had things removed, and that is a detriment on your body forever. At the same time, the lies that we've believed and the myths that we believed are, I'll give you an example. The myth of aging is that you get more sore and more stiff and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as you age. That's not true. The reason that that is true to you is because you've always seen everyone age the same way, but you've never seen anyone break out of that perpetual cycle. So, another myth. Eating meat and vegetables is a great diet. Okay, so 6 years ago when I discovered the truth about how the body breaks down and digests foods and what you really need, I held my tongue. I never expressed. That's number uno, y'all remember that. I never was judgmental. I don't have a criticism about me. Every person can eat their own way, and I mean that tonight too. I do not have any push or passion inside of me to make anyone eat a certain way. You will not hear me say that because you live your own life and you have your own husbands to submit to, so I'm not involving myself in that. But, okay, so you're eating meat, which will not produce any glucose to cleanse your organs at all, okay? So then you're eating vegetables, which are nutrient-rich, but also not cleansing your body at all. You have to have something that's going to form glucose to get rid of the toxic buildup and waste and dead cells living inside of your organs. Okay? So I didn't just... when you understand what it takes for your body to break down meat, and when you understand what it takes for your body to break down vegetables or fruits, then you start making important decisions on what you want each day. More simplified eating, less eating. Doesn't matter. If I'm going to eat meat, because I'm a meat eater, I'm an Israelite. If I'm going to eat meat, then I'm not going to eat anything else with it, and it's going to be at least 8 to 12 hours before I eat anything else. That's how I eat meat. Does that mean everyone needs to do it that way? No. No. But there, we have been lied to about our food combinations. We've been lied to about detoxing. We think headaches are detoxing. We think drinking lemon juice and cayenne pepper and some syrup together is detoxing, and all that's doing is tricking your kidneys to believe that your blood is better. So there's myths about blood tests, for example. You know, this society thrives off of blood tests. You can get awesome information off of a blood test, of course, but they're going to draw blood from you as soon as you go to the hospital, right? They're going to draw blood from you, and they're going to potentially remove something from you. No one questions the massive amounts of organs that are donated or removed every day by the billions of pounds. Where is it going? Who's hauling it off? And what are you turning it into? Hundreds of thousands of spleen today, hundreds of thousands of legs, arms, foot, toes, uterus. This is a very satanic sacrificial system we're living in. And so they're going to say they want to take something out of you, and they're going to test your blood. Your blood is beneficial. The results are beneficial. But one thing that the blood test won't show you is how king the blood is over your body. The blood determines and shows you at any given time what is in you. But if you just ate something with sugar, your blood changes. If you just ate meat, your blood changes. Okay, so how can you take a blood test and it prove everything? I'll give you an example. They'll try to read calcium levels in your blood. They'll tell you your calcium's great. But they won't tell you that because you don't have enough calcium being utilized and absorbed in your gut, your blood has been taking calcium from your bones for years, and you're going to get osteoporosis. They won't tell you that. They'll just, oh, great results. You got this going on, good job. You know, so there's just this satanic system interwoven into what you should eat. And everybody, now from the keto diet to the, now it's a woman should eat this certain way. Keto, I should say, sorry, keto. So women have a keto diet now, and men got a keto diet now. And we got this shake and that shake, and I literally have a book that shows you the perpetual cycle of lies in the diet industry, that if you live long enough, as this old age woman has, she proves that all of them come back around again. So late 60s, early 70s, coconut water, goji berry, all these pushes to lose weight, feel better, look good. And now it's 2020, and it's all being taught again. Does it have its benefits? Absolutely. It's just a lie that's pushing them. You understand? So you can't, in this life, just believe anything if it's not coming from a Yahoo Deen. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, and, you know, you talked about the diets, the fad diets, and they're really created to feed, you know, the vanity, the desperation to lose weight quick. And it's never geared towards your health. It's never geared towards really looking at your health. Am I properly eliminating? And so, like she said, they're going to cycle back around again years and years later. So you really have to be careful and not just go with the flow of what the world is doing. I want to ask you, this is one last question I have, but can you talk about the fear that that you see in the people. You know, you made a statement at one point, and you said we're quick to accuse because we lack understanding. You know, there's fears. There's so much that has been hidden from us. There's so much that's been hidden from our culture. I remember when I first started wearing a head cover, and, you know, I said to myself, well, I don't want to wear it like this because I don't want to look like a Muslim. And that was a very ignorant statement, but that was what I knew. And so years later, I remember the father revealing to me that, you know, it's not something that he gave to the Muslims first. He gave it to us first. This was our culture. This is ours. So you use words like kinesiology, iridology, energies, and things like that. And it sounds so foreign to the mind, but can you talk to me about the fear that people may experience when they hear such words, and how we can be quick to accuse because we don't understand it? But these may be things that actually come from our culture, and the other nations have taken them and perverted them.
Absolutely. Each of you should be very quick to admit your ignorance. That'll take care of a lot of that. You've been taught by Gentiles. You've been taught by a white nation that believes in a white God, and it's taught you spirituality. It's taught you about the Bible. It's taught you about health. It's taught you education in public school, et cetera, and it's all a lie. And so to restore heritage, for example, just in your mind, being a balanced listener, I have only developed the ability to speak and listen because of my total submission to my shepherd and my husband. Shepherd has a way of listening to people when he speaks that he manifests openly. Y'all can watch him and view him. Y'all see his reactions, responses, how he listens intently. If you've ever noticed, and I'm getting around to the answer here, but if you ever noticed, someone might ask him a question and he goes a completely different way with the answer, and the person's like, oh, thank you so much. Oh, hallelujah. It's because he's in tune. You know, you think you're asking a certain question, and you are, because it's sincere. That's what you want to know. But then he's discerning the very thought and intent of what you need to be ministered to. And so I learned that same application, and I've watched him. And the quickness to obey Yah that you have now, sisters, how quick you are to obey him is also going to benefit you when it comes time to respond and react. So over the course of years with the Father and being in tune with his direction, you began to just function as he wants you to, you know, in the most smallest ways or the greatest ways. So anyway, I watched how Shepherd listens, and I watch how he speaks when he chooses to or when he chooses not to. He taught us foolish questions, avoid, etc. He's taught us how to, or myself, I should say, he's taught me how to separate sin from a person, you know, to hate the sin and not the sinner. He's taught me compassion, how to love. And so throughout all these lessons, if you acknowledge that you have people that are greater than you, or since that's offensive to hear, if you acknowledge that you have people in your life that have more experience than you do or have more understanding than you do, if you would just simply acknowledge that, sit back and watch and wait for them to respond to things, wait and see how they weigh it out, then you can be trained how to think. This is what the world calls us brainwashed. This sounds like I'm ministering the same brainwashing techniques on you that pastors had on me, right? If the enemy were listening tonight. And so when we come to this oneness of mind, it's actually true application of the word. So you're literally saying, okay, I've met this new, I'm going to give Yaki for example. I met this brother. I've seen him on videos. I don't know anything about health. That's what you need to say. He's tearing down every stronghold and wall that I've ever thought. So I need to shut up. And so I don't need to be quick to oppose or quick to put my mouth on them or quick to judge. Okay, so let's say you came out of mysticism. You came out of New Age. You came out of satanic, any anti-Messiah doctrine or religion. Maybe you stepped away from kinesiology. Maybe you knew a little bit about these things, and he's teaching them now. And so it throws you off a little bit. It's because when you got rid of everything you knew, you became spiritual. And now you won't let nothing in. So there's still not a balance. So whether you know nothing or you've known something, you should still submit yourself to the spirit of Yah in a man. You listen to how the fear of Yah motivates him. You listen to how quick he says he would repent if he were wrong. And you really acknowledge him as someone that's been placed amongst us or just in your view right now. Who knows how long you're going to see him? He could come and go just like any other man. But he has a lot to teach. And you do learn the art of, pastors always said, eat the meat, spit out the bones. You know, you order a book and you do the same thing. Eat what applies, spit out the bones. But you got to get a good foundation. And for me, I knew I didn't have a good foundation of health. I knew that I'd been lied to. I believed that what I was eating was okay and it was good. And your body's telling you it's not. So when you see someone, when you meet someone, it's just like anyone coming into your home. And you don't like their T-shirt. Or you don't like their hats on backwards. Or you don't like their flip-flops. You know? I don't watch Spider-Man. Our boys don't watch Spider-Man or Batman. Should I be judgmental to a man's house who allows his children? Absolutely not. We're trying to come to one mind here and follow the Torah. What I teach my children, here, I'm changing it up a little bit, Mother Jennifer, but this will help all of y'all as you come together. What you teach your children is you obey your father, just as that boy is obeying his father. That takes care of all that, right? You obey your father. We ain't got our eye and our finger pointed at everybody who's not obeying your father. You're in your father's house. Now you're looking at some other man and saying, why ain't we doing what he's doing? That ain't your father. So, hallelujah, when you just acknowledge someone before you as your teacher, acknowledge them knowing more than you and submit yourself to it and let Yah give you favor for your humility. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. And, you know, I just want to say that I'm so thankful for the leadership that we have who uses so much wisdom and who really loves us, that, you know, we can really trust our leaders and we can trust their discernment. We can trust their wisdom and we can just follow their leading. And that is a blessing to have. We don't have to figure it all out as women. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley. I thank you. And I just thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and for everything that you've, you know, that you've given us tonight. And I know the women have definitely been edified.
Hallelujah. I got something for you, Mother Jennifer. You know what it is?
I don't know.
You know, no, you don't have a clue that it's Sister Gabby. Sister Gabby, come on up. Let me hold this beautiful Hebrew right here. Ah, hallelujah. Share anything on your mind. Greet the sisters. Glory to the Most High that you made it here safely. And
hallelujah.
Talk about your health. Talk about your care for your body. Talk about anything.
I want you to.
She wants me beside of her, but I'm walking away. Y'all bear with her. I won't go far.
She's trying to leave me, guys. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. How are you doing?
Bless you, Sister Gabby. It's so good to hear your voice, and I'm so excited that you all get a chance to be at the Hub. So please talk to us and share with the Daughters of Zion.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. We're so excited to be here as well. It's been years since we've actually been able to come here outside of the feast. So hallelujah and glory to the King that we're able to be here. This is truly an experience. I've never actually been here on Straightway land during the Sister to Sister blog talk. So this is like a desire that I've been wanting to be fulfilled for years now. So to actually be in the place while seeing my, you know, being able to witness my sister deal with the show and just, oh, man, this is such a blessing to me. But I just been sitting here in joy and just grabbing a hold of everything that's been said and in total agreement with my dear sister. Her testimony was much similar. I'm just sitting here listening to what she's saying about how the Father began to reveal things to her about her health very early on and praying for a man to come on the scene to confirm the convictions that she was already having in her heart. And it's one and the same of experience for me as well. And so I'm just sitting down on the floor and I'm smiling and I'm just like, wow, Father, this is amazing. This has been going on with my sister as well. So I just wanted to share that I touch and agree with my sister as far as her encounter and her experience with dealing with the Father and her health, and then coming into the knowledge of, you know, our dear brother Yaqui. It's just an amazing, amazing thing to witness and actually see that the Father has had us all on one accord. It's a beautiful thing, and that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know.
I'm coming.
I'm more of a conversation.
Yes,
like,
I got one of
you. I'm so thankful that you're here. Hey, a long time ago, Sister Gabby shared her testimony. I'm going to ask her to give it one more time, okay? Your testimony of your diastasis recti. Explain what it is and explain your healing. That's so touching. Bless you.
Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. I had a separation in my abdominal cavity, and it happened with my first son, and it went unnoticed for a very, very, very long time, to the point where the separation got greater. It was 4 inches long, and it was 3 inches wide.
All right, pause. So she's explaining to anyone who is wondering what abdominal separation is, your ab muscles, and she's a petite, small woman at carrying children or back-to-back children, your abs get thin and stretched out as your uterus grows. So it can literally pop, stretch, bust open. That's
mm-hmm.
what she's talking about. Go ahead.
Yes.
So, that's a big one.
4 inches.
Wow.
Yes. And so that's what happened with me. I remember laying in the hospital bed, and I remember seeing this bulge because I had my first son in the hospital. I remember seeing this bulge coming from right aligned with my belly button and off to the left side of my belly button. And I didn't think anything of it because, you know, in the hospital, I'm dealing with the doctors that I had for my first son's birth. They didn't explain anything like that could happen, so I didn't think that it was anything serious. I kind of mentioned there's like a little protruding right here. Is there anything that I need to do? And it was kind of just blown off as it'll go down. It'll go down in a couple of weeks. Well, what ended up happening was I ended up having excruciating pain on the, I think I was 10 weeks postpartum, and it was so bad that I could not use the restroom. I would try to use the restroom, and the pain would, it would just feel like somebody was taking their fist and twisting my insides together. And so we tried to call the doctors to see, you know, what do we do? How do we figure this out? Because I'm not getting better. It's actually gotten worse. It hasn't went down. I still didn't get any explanations whatsoever from the doctors. And I believe this is fairly recent now that it's something that they talk about because my son now is 12 years old. So 12 years ago, I had never heard of, how do you say it, Sister Ashley?
Diastasis
recti. I had never heard of that. That was never mentioned 12 years ago. And so when I was trying to explain this to the doctors, it was, you know, it was something that they couldn't lead or direct me on. So we just had to kind of stick with just praying and, you know, me pushing my stomach in while trying to eat and while trying to use the restroom. So years pass, and I'm dealing with this. I begin to lose weight because I can't consume anything. I can't keep anything down. My intestines were beginning to twist. They were beginning to twist and wrap around each other. And so this is where I enter into this period of losing 30 to 40 pounds. Many of you have probably heard my husband give, you know, our testimony about when I was sick. Well, this was along the lines of me getting sick. This is what was causing. It was stemming from the separation in my stomach. And I remember going through this for years. It was about a year and a half to 2 years I was going through it. And I remember being, we had got invited to a prayer service. And I remember every single night that we went, I would run to the altar. I would run up to the front of the room. I would run up to the front of the room because I knew that there was a Elohim that could heal me because I read about him in this book. None of the doctors had any information for me. None of the nurses, none of the practitioners, none of the midwives, every person that we saw didn't have any explanation for me. And so I became very desperate after months of going to the emergency room every weekend. It was like we were in the emergency room back to back, because I had got to the point where I couldn't eat anything bigger than a tablespoon of food. If I did, my stomach would begin to twist. And so x-rays, I mean, back to back, going to the emergency room, sitting in the hospital, you know, trying to get them to help me use the restroom. It became so very hard, and all it did was it forced me to seek the Father even the more so. I remember just laying in the bed and talking to the Father. I remember saying, Father, when you heal me, I'm going to testify immediately. When you heal me, I'm going to give you glory. When you heal me, my mindset began to change. I no longer started asking the Father, could you please heal me? Could you please heal me? My mindset changed to, I know he was going to heal me. And when you heal me, Father, I'm going to testify. I'm going to shout your name so that all people will know that it was you who healed me and not the doctors. And so fast forward, I remember we were going to church about four days a week. And every night I would run up to the altar and I would just throw myself on the ground and I would just call out unto the Father, just bless his holy name. The night that I ended up getting healed was the night that my prayer to him and my crying out was different. I remember sitting in the back of service, and we had got there late. We weren't going to go, but it was something that was pushing. My husband was like, no, we're going to go. Well, I remember sitting in the back of service, and I remember the pastor's wife came out on the stage, and she said, you know, there's an open heaven. Can anybody see that there's an open heaven? And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, well, I don't see anything. You know, I want to see what she sees. And so I'm sitting in the back, and she comes to the floor, and it's about 400 people, I want to say, roughly in this place. We're all the way in the back. She comes to the floor, and she says, if there's anybody here who needs to be healed, the heavens are open. You need to come. I remember seeing floods of people in front of us, and we were in the back, and I was sitting in the middle of the row. I remember looking up, and I remember saying, I'm going up there. Father, I'm going up there, and I'm just going to bless your name. I stood up, and I started pushing my way through people. There was no aisle for me to go down, so I started climbing over the seats. So I started moving people out of the way because people were just standing there. I'm like, I'm going up here. So I'm climbing over people, and I'm pushing. I probably pushed some people down, and, you know, after it happened, I thought about it like, man, I should apologize to these people, but I'm running, I'm jumping over the chairs, and I'm pushing people out of the way, and I just get on the floor, I get to the floor, and I just fall flat on my face. And instead of asking the Most High to heal me, I just begin to thank him, and I begin to glorify his holy name.
And I began to lift him up for who he was and who he has been in my life. And I, at that moment, I wasn't even thinking about being healed. I was just thinking about praising him. And I was on the floor for about 15 to 20 minutes. And I just remember hearing his wife get back on the microphone, and she goes, "Hey, for those of you who are up here, those of you who have, you came up here to be healed, why don't you get up and check yourself? Get up and check yourself." And so I sat up, and I'm like, "Well, I didn't ask to be healed, but I'm going to check myself." And so I sat up, and I took my hands, and I put my hands right in the space where there was separation with the 4 inches long and 3 inches wide. And I try to push my hands through, and it's a wall. It's literally like a wall. I can't get my fingers through. But prior, my husband could take his whole hand and push his hands all the way up to his knuckles into my stomach. And so I look up, and I start glorifying the Father. I start blessing his holy name. And I look up, and I turn around. I try to go find Pastor. And when I turn around, he's on the floor. He's on the floor praising the Father. So I'm trying to get him. I'm like, honey, I'm healed. But, you know, he's praising the Father, so he doesn't hear me. So I just grabbed his hand, and I took his hand to make sure that I wasn't tripping. I was like, maybe I'm tripping. I'm seeing things. So I grabbed his hand, and I took his fingers, and I tried to push his hand in the space that was originally there. And I'm pushing, and it's not going anywhere. There's literally a wall. Like, my abdominal cavity has been sealed. And as I'm doing it, he comes to the realization that I have his hands, and I'm pushing his hands in my stomach. And then he pops up, and he starts praising the Father. And then we're both just glorifying and praising the Father in our own little moment. We're in the middle of the floor just blessing the Father. And then as I'm blessing the Father, I remember I hear him speak to me, and I remember it flashing, the words that I said months prior, that when you heal me, I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell everybody. And when that came, I immediately sat up, and then I looked at Pastor, and I go, "Honey, can you find somebody with a microphone? Can you find somebody to see if I can testify that I'm healed?" And so then he gets up, and he goes and finds one of the families who was over the saints coming up giving testimonies, and the lady's name is Carol. She comes over, and she asks, "You have a testimony? You've been healed?" I say, "Yes, ma'am. I have a testimony. I have to share it." And so they get me up, and my husband walks me up to the stage, the platform, and they give the microphone to me, and I begin to give the testimony, and my husband begins to share with the people what was going on with me. And as I'm testifying, there's a woman who is in the control room. She's not in the service. She's in the control room, and she's like monitoring the cameras and things like that, and she hears me testifying. But what I didn't know was this woman who is sitting behind the camera hearing me testifying was suffering from the same thing. And so as I'm testifying, she's being healed as I'm testifying, because she's watching, and she begins to receive, and she's praising as well. And so service is over. We come out, and we're getting ready to walk to the car. And my husband's he's helping me to the car because, you know, I'm weak. Because prior to being healed instantly, just then, I hadn't really been eating anything, so I don't really have any food in my system. So he's helping me to the car, and we get close to the car, and we hear this woman she's on the other end, maybe a fourth of a mile down the road. We hear this woman screaming my name, and she's like, "Gabby, Gabby," like she's screaming. And I'm like, "Is somebody calling my name?" And you could hear her running as she gets closer. You could hear her feet, her feet getting closer and closer. And she's screaming, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed." And then she runs and she grabs me. I don't know this woman at all. She runs and she grabs me. And she begins to thank
thank me and thank the Most High. She began to thank me for sharing my testimony, for getting up there and saying that I had been healed. She began saying that she had been suffering from the same thing, and when she was listening, she felt the hole in her stomach begin to close up. And so we're standing in the parking lot, and we're just glorifying for another 35, 45 minutes, just praising and thanking the Father. And, you know, that right there is what has been fueling me from day one on getting close to the Father, receiving His Spirit, and believing that you can be healed, but also believing that anyone else who comes to be, who comes for healing can be healed as well. And so, bless y'all. Thank y'all for allowing me to share my testimony. And, you know, that healing is what I got healed before I ended up receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it fueled me, and it's given me a fire that I have to this very day. So every time I fear, every time I hear of someone wanting to be healed, it's an excitement to me because I relive all over again that moment when I was healed and that moment when the Father sealed me with the baptism of His Holy Spirit as well. So bless you all.
Hallelujah. Don't let me rush you by standing over your shoulder. I got your precious
people.
I was
just waiting
here.
For you to come back.
Thank you. By the chat room. Hallelujah. Y'all is worthy. Bless you. Everyone.
Yes,
loving
hallelujah.
It. Mother Jennifer, before we say goodbye to her, anything from your heart to Gabby?
You know, I wanted to point out a few things that Gabby shared. And, you know, there was something really key that she said. She said that in that moment, she didn't ask the Father for anything. She acknowledged who He was. She praised Him for who He was. There was a moment of worship that took place to Yah. It wasn't about her. It was all about Him. And this is, it's such an intimate and sweet place to actually get to. It's so selfless. You know, she didn't think of self at all. And it reminds me of Daniel. And I want to read this. It says, "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard." So I just want to really encourage the daughters of Zion that, you know, there's a, sometimes there's a lot of prayers that are being put out there. And the Father, He's hearing your words. You know, so don't allow unbelief to come in, because even Gabby said that her statement to the Father was, "When you heal me, I will testify." So she knew she would be healed. And I don't know how long, you know, she had this condition, but it sounds like it was more than 21 days. But looking at this, you know, the Father just confirmed. He said, "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself, your words were heard." So really be encouraged and know that your words are being heard. And don't refrain from worshiping Yah, making it all about Him. We know that we have needs, and He knows we have need, that we have needs as well. But we have to really make it about Him and focus on Him and not be so selfish. Thank you, Sister Gabby, for sharing. Sister Ashley.
Hi. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Gabby.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to the show, and goodbye for now. All right. Looks like we talked long enough not to get any phone calls. Oh, bless y'all. That means we said enough. Hallelujah. I did want to thank everyone who's ever received my instruction, whether I have a sister that always reminds me, you've taught me so much about health, and sometimes I've listened and sometimes I haven't. And so she's really honest with herself. I'm just summing it up for that. But anyone who's ever listened to me or even noticed that you didn't or just even put your faith in my direction through the years, there has been quite a few of you. I have sisters who have some really awesome testimonies, children who have awesome testimonies. And, I'm so excited about our brother Yaki. And while we have an open doorway to watch him or listen to him, you know, let it benefit you, but at the same time, increase your faith, call on the Father. And I think it was a really awesome
verse that you shared from Daniel, because that's really the gist of the whole show tonight. You know, in his time, you know, of course he heard your prayers. He always has. But in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I've learned so many lessons. I wouldn't want to take any of it back as much as I used to. You know, I used to beat myself up and say, there's no way anyone's going to believe the truth that you've given me, Father, if I'm overweight, if I don't, you know, appear to be healthy. No one's going to hear what I got to say. That was another reason that I shut up, you know. So it doesn't matter what you think you know, woman. There's still a time for it, you know, and there's still a time. And if there isn't a time afforded or given to you to talk or share what you think you know, so what? You know, so what? I'm willing to keep my faith to myself and really grow with the Father, whether a man or woman ever notices. And that's the truth. So I'm thankful to have all excuses removed in our lives, natural and spiritual. You have people before you that fast. You know, in this ministry, you have people who fast. You have people who are disciplined in eating and disciplined in many areas of their life. So be inspired by it. Don't be condemned by it. If you want to change, change. As Mother has always taught, change what you can change about yourself, and what you can't change, you be content with it. So thank you to anyone who's ever listened to the advice that I've given you concerning health, and thank you to anyone who has endured me if I've advised you wrong, because not everyone has a healing victory testimony because of something that I instructed. Thank you, Sister Angelica. I see you placing my packages in my car. So thank you when you go back and hear this. She's still serving me. It's 7:30 at night, and my friend and sister is still outside. She hasn't even gotten home for the day yet. We started this morning in the kitchen at 6 a.m. The canning team canned 168 jars of salsa, 50 jars of jalapenos 2 days ago. And next week, we butchered 200 chickens. We clean a storage room and shuffle tons and tons of food around to get organized to receive more as we store up. We wash hundreds of jars to prepare for canning. We begin to process and harvest green beans twice a week. We will harvest and shuck hundreds of ears of corn. On top of wife, mother, sister, friend, duties and responsibilities, cook days, days that we wash laundry, cleaning in the dining hall, all the assignments that we have individually in the dining hall and in the kitchen, and our cleaning corners and walls and et cetera. We love being busy. We are not excuse makers. If you meet one, I don't want to hear about her. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for tuning in, Mother Jennifer, and the show.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Master Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Shalom.